The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Micah says, "Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of God, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For God has a controversy with the people, and God will contend with Israel." Micah interprets for God and says, "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of God." The speaking switches now. "With what shall I come before God and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will God be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" And that concludes the reading this morning.
Good. Thank you so much for that beautiful reading of an incredible scripture. Aloha, Crossroads and family. I know that we're spread out all across the nation right now, and it's good to be together here in worship. I want to thank your pastor, Reverend David Turner. We've been friends for many, many years, and gosh, we go way back to when he was at Kapa'a United Church of Christ and on Kauai. My wife Bridget and I would instruct students on a vacation Bible school curriculum, complete with all sorts of props and sets. And we'd go over and take the kids to Kauai, spend a week or two over there. And in the mornings, we would do the vacation Bible school. And in the afternoons, we'd go hike and play. So it was a wonderful time to be together. And also, huge giant mahalos to your creative worship team. We are truly blessed to have the folks that you have working with you. They're wonderful and cooperative, and they put up with me trying to change a few things at the last moment. So thank you so much. You all are great. So if we could pause for a moment as we enter into this time of worship, let's pause for a moment of meditation and prayer. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as people of God, if ever there was a time when we need to pause and ask, what are we doing? Where are we going? How will we get there? It's right now. With all the internal stirring we have going on in our country and in the world, we do need it. We need it as a response to some of the violence and the heartlessness we've seen on the part of those in power. We do need to have the stirring that's going on right now. It's definitely time to stir up the stew, so to speak. And the scripture from Micah hits home and begs the question to America and all of creation: can you hear it? Do you hear God saying, I've done so much. I've given you all the blessings that you could possibly have. I've saved you from destruction many times, and yet here you are as my creation, battling amongst yourselves. God has provided. Now it's up to us to see each other as brothers and sisters and live life to its fullest. So the question is simple, but the response and the doing is difficult. What do you want us to do, God? What do you want from us? How much should I give or sacrifice in order to be right and to get right with you? I remember as kids when you did someone wrong, you know, you always tried to do something to make up and get back on their good side. And sometimes, no, that wasn't it. No material thing would do. So God, through Micah, says it, do and act justly. Love, kindness, and mercy. Walk humbly with me. Walk humbly with me. Then we come to believe what I share today, which is what I think would accomplish this powerful yet complicated task. It is powerful once we do it, but it is very complicated to do, and it's hard, it's difficult. And that's to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Then it's impossible for the devil to steal your joy. So let me break it down a little bit. So don't let the devil steal your joy. You know, it comes from the Black church and also in the Black community. That's a saying that we would say all the time. And my mother, Ruby Lee from Mobile, Alabama, well, she definitely shared it with us many, many times. And sometimes at key points in our lives. You see, it was a combination of a word of instruction. So there's some teaching in there, rolled into encouragement, rolled into like an admonition, almost a scolding. It's in a way saying, get up, get up. I might come home from school having a rough day, and whatever the case may have been, maybe I've been bullied at school and something had happened. And my mom would say, George, don't let the devil steal your joy. Get up, boy. It's kind of a form of self-defense, if you hear me. It's a little bit of self-defense, even as an adult in life. And sometimes you get discouraged by the things that happen, say, in a career path, and maybe you're overlooked or something occurs. And even in personal life, sometimes things happen and we're hurt and we're down. But here it is again. She would say, George, you can't let that get to you. Get up. Don't let the devil steal your joy. And every now and then, my mother would throw in the clincher, the closer. Sometimes the visual of this just kind of makes me laugh aloud. And I've shared it with a couple of people here in Hawaii, and they just crack up too. But it's the clincher, the closer. Because if stealing your joy didn't work, she had another one for you. And she would say, remember this one thing, George. One monkey don't stop no show. I had to laugh out loud. And when you think of it, one monkey don't stop no show. That means get a hold to yourself. Get up again. Get going. This person is not going to stop your life from going forward. This thing is not going to keep you from achieving and being who you need to be, who God has called you to be. Don't let one monkey stop your show, George. Get up. Get going. So I invite you to hold on to some of those sayings too and get stirred up when you need them. Call them up. And then they will be able to serve you as those things have served me in life. But we must remember that God has placed a joy within us. We are blessed with God's joy. And that not one person should be able to stop that, or one administration. I'm not going to go there right now. If we do so, then we live into the scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's biblical. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God's peace is my strength. That was truly the truth for my parents, being from the South, trying to live through and get away from those Jim Crow unjust laws. They realized that the longer we would focus on the woe is me, then evil wins, stealing your joy away. And it's true for whatever circumstance you find yourself in. But, you know, these things occur, and we can see evidence of it everywhere. I'm just so pleased. I beamed with joy with the young high school students who organized Black Lives Matter here in Hawaii. High school kids. And I understand looking across the world that it's a lot of young people organizing and putting together the marches that we are participating in. And these kids from high schools here said, we were looking for 500, maybe 600 or 800 people to come to the march last week. Over 10,000 came out. Over 10,000 showed up. And then I saw this particular young lady on TV this week, and she was talking about celebrating Juneteenth. And she was smiling, and they were interviewing her. She said, well, yeah, Juneteenth is wonderful. We're celebrating Juneteenth. She said, but come next week, we got to get back to work. She said, there's still more to be done. So yes, we celebrate today, but we're not finished. She said, there is more to be done. And I say, hallelujah, I'm proud of you. Keep us going. Keep us stirred up. She says, hey, in essence, we got to dismantle this evil of the world, and we got to do it with great joy. You see, you never lose sight of the underlying truth. Even in the storms, God has placed joy and joyous living within us. You see, that's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is about joy. The good news is about overcoming. There's a hum in the universe, a song in the universe that's the voice of creation. And if you listen, you'll hear that still, small voice saying, peace be still. Peace be still. Well, many stories of Micah, that scripture, is coming to life all around us right now. And one story went viral and gained global attention last week. And it even sounds and looks familiar to another story that we know quite well from the Gospel of Luke. Think about this. Think of this story, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. So a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and left him there half dead. As we know, a priest came by, passed by and says, no, I can't touch this person. Then also a Levite came and saw the man there and walked on to the other side, couldn't do it. But a Samaritan, someone quite unexpected from an opposing racial group, also came and took pity on the man, dressed his wounds, put him on his own donkey, brought him to a place of shelter and safety, and told the innkeeper there, would you take care of him? I have some money to give you. And if you know, if this isn't enough, I have some more I can give you when I come back by, but take care of him. Well, that happened in London, England. Look at this picture of a very familiar photo that has gone viral, and the story has gone viral too. Reflect upon that for just a moment. You see the Good Samaritan story in there? So look at this interpretation of it. So a group of people having a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest in London were entered and interfered with by a group of others who wanted to stir up the crowd with a negative message. He wants to steal their joy by causing a possible violent confrontation. He falls into the hands of those who went there very upset, but also said, this is going to be a peaceful demonstration. But then they said, oh, you want to fight? Well, then we'll give you a fight if that's what you came here for. But enter Patrick Hutchinson, a Samaritan of a different race, and shouts, that's not what we do. That's what he said. That's not what we do. That's not who we are. And carries the man to safety. He later said in an interview, it was the right thing to do. He was going to get badly hurt, maybe even killed by the crowd. And that's not why we gathered. So what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to do the right thing? Now let's go from there. So we go from there to New York City. And as we know, New York has been ravaged by COVID-19, and our hearts are broken, and we weep for the people there. I know many people that live there. Many of the students from Hawaii are living there, people from around the world. It's the megatropolis type city where, wow, for a virus to hit that place, many lives have been lost, and many are still sick and trying to recover. as our world and our nation tries to recover. Well, as news start to spread about the origins of it, the COVID-19 and the virus hit hard, a group of students in New York City's public school, PS 126, had to respond for their own safety and actually teach us all a lesson. They were being bullied by other students because they were all of Chinese ancestry. Take a look at these kids. I love the way they're standing proud. And you know what they said? That students started to tease them and saying, hey, do you know how to make bat soup? And would tease them and mess with them. Others would say, oh, I hear you coughing. And the girl said, well, I was coughing because I was eating spicy noodles. We know what that's about here, spicy noodles. But the kids were saying, you must have COVID-19. You're spreading it and the disease all over our school. Get away from us. So it was painful. It was hurtful to the students. Well, they took their concerns to their principal and administration, and they even made a podcast of the situation to talk to us grown-ups too about it. NPR, National Public Radio, recognized them, and you know, they won first place in a contest for students about this whole situation. When you have a chance, take a look at it. It's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you can hear their little voices talking to us, telling us the same thing that we need to know. They talked to other students, and guess what? They even got an apology. Students came forth and apologized. If we could just be more like the children sometimes, I think we could do much better with relations with each other and create a better world. But here's what they said at the very end of their podcast that won this national award. Please, everyone, be kind to one another. Please, everyone, be kind to one another. What a real life amen to Micah's word to us. Do justice like the man in English. Love kindness like the children in New York. And then one final word. I want you to pause for a moment and think of someone in your life who represents humility. Someone who never got the praise, the accolades, the newspaper write-ups, the public acclaim that perhaps they were due, but they never did. Someone in your life, maybe they're close by. Maybe you know them personally or admire them from a distance, but you admire them because they've touched your life with humility, just doing right for others. You see, humble people do the right thing and never get noticed. Sometimes, but most often, they don't. Funny, you never see them walk down the street with tear gas blasting out crowds and a Bible in their hand, posing for photographs. Now, wait a minute. I know I'm not supposed to get political here today, but, you know, I just have to say that just ain't humble to me. But I'm saying people just don't do that with humility. I love this quote from tennis legend Arthur Ashe, and it speaks to humility. Listen to what Arthur Ashe said. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. 12 simple words. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. And that's why I asked you to pause. And is there someone in your life? And you know, I know it's Father's Day, but perhaps it wasn't a father. Maybe it was someone else who taught you humility. You saw humility in them. You saw them start with something humble and small, use that thing, that gift, and do something with it for others. Well, on this day, I want you to think about that person. And I want to lift up someone in my life, Sammy Scott. That's my father. He was born in the backwoods of Mississippi, son of a sharecropper. And you know, that was a very difficult and challenging life. He totally struggled in life, had to quit school in eighth grade, go to work in the fields, picked cotton, suffered many forms of racial discrimination in the Deep South. Here's a look at my dad, Sammy Scott. We call this pose the thinker. I actually took that photograph. And here's something interesting about him is that he didn't tell us the stories of the struggles with racism and all of that while he was young and we were young. Maybe he didn't want to taint our view of the world. But near the end of his life, in his late 80s, early 90s, he started to tell us about the things that he went through. I don't think he wanted to be pitied. He just wanted us to keep going. He talked about being slapped by white boys just because he was a black man and he couldn't do anything about it. He joined the army and was passed over time and time again for promotions, even though on paper he qualified for the exam and passed required tests, just couldn't get a promotion. Part of the great migration up to Detroit, worked hard, never got praise, was not perfect. No, he had faults, made lots of mistakes, but struggled in many ways, just walked humbly without complaining. So reflect about that person in your life for a moment that showed you humility. Hold them close to your heart and share a mahalo, a huge thank you to them. And while we pause, we say in our heart that we will continue to strive, 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 to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. And then when that happens, my friends, my brothers and sisters, nothing can steal your joy. God bless you. Amen.